We'll be doing a little differently today, and I trust you kind of just go with the flow. We'll probably practice or try a few different approaches. We want to do all we can to ensure your safety as we honor the Word of God. So we may take a couple different approaches. And the communion elements are on three of the tables at the back, and we will have a couple of deacons available. But at the appropriate time, I'll let you know. And if you would go and pick up your cup and then return to your seat, and then we'll celebrate together. If you cannot do that, if you'll just raise your hand, and one of the men will help you and get you served, and we're just kind of working our way through the process and see what works the best seamlessly and safely for everyone. Also today, you know, we've been encouraged by our leaders to use self-serving cups for communion, and so we've been able to locate those finally, which is why we haven't had communion until today. But on the in the trays, you will find some cups like this that have both the juice and the bread in them, and so you can avail yourselves of those. Now, we did practice, and some of us, especially me, had tremendous challenge getting the bread out. So I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I will share with you what I have learned. And that is, there are two tabs here, and there's this really, really thin one on the top. If you keep peeling it back, you'll find it, and you pull that open, there will be the bread, and you can eat the bread. And then you pull it, the other tab back, and there's the juice, and you can drink the juice. But we do foresee that that could be a challenge for some, and so we have also taken the cups that we normally use before, and we put bread in the bottom cup, put another cup on top of it, and the juice goes in there. And so you can pick whichever one you want this morning. And again, if you need some help, our gentlemen are here to help you, even with opening the cups. If you want that, we want to do everything we can to do this safely, but also for everyone to participate. So whatever we need to do, we want to do that, and we'll work our way through that. Just before we go to the singing this morning, just take care of a couple of announcements. Please drop your offering in any of the black tables. There you'll see boxes or the wooden church building over there. And our people have been very faithful in giving. Let me encourage you to do that. And we'll also look at trying to catch up just a tad behind budget-wise, but not terrible, kind of normal for this time of year. So that's where we will take the offering today, either as you come in or as you exit. Also, we could use a little more help in mowing. This week, some of our regular mowers are going to be going on vacation. And do want to explain, a lot of questions have been asked, and the plan was for the trustees to share with the church body a new plan in March. The Sunday in March that we had to close was the Sunday they were going to share this plan with you. But for quite a while, there's been talks with the boards and the DNR, the Department of Natural Resources, and I will give you a quick gist of it, and then if you have questions, please ask the trustees, and they will illuminate you with the further details. But if you saw over the last several weeks, there's quite a bit of the church property that was not mowed. That area that was not mowed is slated to go into this DNR plan, which will be planting wildflowers and shrubs in that area. And I do have the proposed plan, a picture of that up here, and I'll make that available on the table at the back, and you can take a look at that. But this will do a number of things. It will enhance the environment for the wildlife. It should be pretty when it comes to full bloom. So I think the neighbors will, and those passing by, will enjoy it and be able to walk through our property and enjoy God's creation. It will significantly cut down on the mowing that needs to be done, which will cut back on the expenses of mowing and the hours needed to be put into that. It was a very positive plan as far for finances for the church, and we'll be glad to give you all the details. But that kind of explains why it's looked the way it's looked for several weeks, and it will in no way hinder any further expansion. It will still give plenty of room for children's activities, youth, adult fellowships outside in that area for the immediate time. And it's kind of like if we don't like it, it's like if your wife picks the paint to go inside the house and then changes her mind, we can make it work in the days ahead, and we can adjust that as we go on. But just to explain that for you. Well, let's have a word of prayer and then enter into our singing time, our study of God's word, and then we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper together. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We thank you for being able to get out this morning and to fellowship with one another. For those who are unable to get out this morning, we would pray for encouragement for them, for healing for them. And as the word goes out from this pulpit and pulpits around our country and around the world, we pray for soft hearts to hear your word and respond to it. May we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to worship with us in singing at this time.
We ask that you stand as we sing together.
This is my Father's world, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world, I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, its hands all wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds their carols raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's world, He shines in all that's fair. In the rustling grass I hear Him pass, He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's world. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems all so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heavens ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad.
You may be seated.
mysterious and unknown. Your boundless love, unfailing grace and mercy shown. Bright seraphim and ceaseless flight.
Thank you, ladies, and we ask that you join us by standing and sing as we worship the Lord together.
As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after thee. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship thee. You alone are my strength, my shield. To you thank you. sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. My spirit pants for thee, O living Word. Bless thou the truth, dear Lord, to bread by Galilee, then shall all bondage cease, all fetters fall, and I shall find my peace, my all in all.
Assisting us in our time of worship this morning, I'd invite you to take your copies of the scriptures and locate the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. There is cold water at the tables on each side and at the back. Please help yourself at any time. Also, there are some bags for children, age-appropriate, some activities to entertain and educate you and encourage you open those up and enjoy those at this time. We are live, and if you're joining us online this morning, we want to welcome you. I'd invite you to hit the friend list or under the comment section to let us know where you're listening from. I have an insatiable curiosity. And our services have been going out online for a number of weeks, and people from around the world have been joining us. It's been exciting to see the ministry of this church continue to expand. And whether you're listening online or present this morning, this is a divine opportunity for you to hear from God and move forward in your relationship with God. I shared with our church family, I believe about 2 weeks ago, that our church had applied for a technology grant and had received that, and we received the check in the mail this week, and that is exciting. It will allow us to improve, upgrade, and expand much of our audio-visual equipment and to provide a much better quality online presence and just expand the ministry of this church, and we just thank the Lord for that. Well, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark, the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, for a while now. And this morning we come to Mark chapter 6, we're about in the middle, moving into the last part of the chapter. And that is where we will pick up our study this morning. Well, the story is told of a couple lumberjacks. You know, lumberjacks, guys work out in the forest, they chop down trees. They decide, these two lumberjacks, to face off against each other in a competition to see which one of them could chop down the most trees in an eight-hour shift. We've got a young guy here, fresh out of school, fresh out of college. We've got a veteran of the forest for decades over here on the other side. They've been jawing back and forth which one is better, who can just be more productive. So the day of the contest comes, the gun goes off, and the contest begins. In 8 hours, it is over. The young man steps back, and he begins to count his accomplishments. And over the course of 8 hours, he has chopped down 25 trees. I got to admit, I'm pretty impressed. And so he thinks he has easily won. Youth and energy have won the day, but we have one more count to consider. And now the count is finished with the veteran man. 18, 19, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 trees in 8 hours. The experienced man won, and it really wasn't a photo finish. The younger guy's a bit befuddled, and he goes, "I don't understand. I never stopped working the entire day. I'm stronger, I have more energy than you, and you took a break every hour." The older gentleman responded back, "Yes, every hour I sat down for 10 minutes to let my body recharge, and during that time I sharpened my blade. So my blade was ready for the next 50 minutes. You are strong, you are active. Today I was more productive because of a recharged body and a ready blade." That theme, those thoughts, capture the thrust of this passage of Scripture. The importance of a recharged body, the importance of a ready blade, and how they really both need to come together to not only be active, but productive, especially in eternal matters. I must sit. I must swing. There are valuable insights for everyone who desires to be effective and productive with the life that God has given them. There are times to sit, there are times to swing, and they both work together. Energy, effort, equipment, and endurance must all blend for there to be progress. Here's the thrust, the truth of this passage today that we want to take home with us. Strong people rest so they can remain productively strong. Here's our story. We begin in Mark chapter 6. Let's drop in about verse 6. We've looked at this verse in detail a few weeks ago, but helps us get the story moving. We're going to look at this story in five parts and then look at a couple applications, a couple of the lessons that come out of this story. Verse 6, Jesus wondered at their unbelief. We looked at that. And he kept going around the villages teaching. And then in verse 7, Jesus summoned the 12 and he began to send them out in pairs and gave them authority. And that authority by them will be invested in teaching, in healing, in exercising demons. They go out, they have their assignment, and now we come to verse 30, the heart of our passage. The apostles gathered together with Jesus, and they reported to Jesus all that they had done and taught on their mission assignments. Let's look at the story. First of all, the plan. The plan is laid out in verse 6 and verse 7. The plan involves a report. They've been summoned and sent out by the Lord. Now they're back to summarize the events, to summarize their experience, to summarize what's been accomplished. They return to report on their assigned task. Verse 30, we see they are referenced as apostles. Believe it's the first time in this gospel that they are referenced as apostles. We are reminded that they are new on the job. We all have to be new on the job when we're new on the job. You know, we start something new, there is a learning curve. There's a learning experience that really goes on all our life. And as we look at these apostles, we find some important lessons for all of us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. As these men have gone out with a wonderful assignment to represent the Lord, this has been a stretching time for them. They've never done this before. It's always been Jesus is doing and we're watching. We're experiencing. We're kind of in the splash zone, but we're not getting very wet. And now they're sent out without his physical presence. It's been a stretching time. They aren't even out there with all the rest of the disciples as a whole group, as a team. It's been a very small group. It's been a stretching time. It is a stretching time for us as disciples of Jesus when we're involved in the ministry of Jesus. This stretching time involved doing. They've been very active. It's also been a demanding time and a draining time. You see, ministry, mission, just simply being a follower of Jesus is intense spiritual warfare. Now, you have your assignments. I have my assignments. But for every one of us who are following Jesus, make no mistake, we are involved in intense spiritual warfare. May we never forget that as a church. We are at war with an enemy who shoots real bullets. But we also, while we must not forget that we have an enemy, we must not forget who the enemy is and also who the enemy is not. Those who are imprisoned by the enemy are not our enemies. They are prisoners who need to be freed, not condemned. Freed. And as we watch the news, as we interact with life one-on-one, may we just have the right focus and the right perspective that we often encounter prisoners who need to be freed from the shackles of sin, from the shackles of Satan, just like I trust we've been freed by the gracious work of God. So doing anything for Jesus, doing what Jesus has called us to do, involves doing, it involves activity. It's demanding, it's draining. And if we're not drained, then we ought to ask ourselves, what are we doing? Are we doing anything? If we're not drained, we're not likely doing what God has called us to do. And that will hurt everyone in the body of Christ. It will also affect those who are prisoners and need to be freed. Doing, demanding, draining. Also, this has been a time of depending for the disciples. And again, we see the application into our lives. Being a disciple of Jesus, being involved in the work of Jesus, is a depending ministry. We can't do it all by ourselves. We are created beings, which means we are limited. I cannot do it all. You cannot do it all. And we often may acknowledge that in our head, but in our heart, we're independent. We are able to depend on ourselves. Well, we have limits. And the fact that we even need rest is a reminder to be dependent on the one who never sleeps. And you can read about him in Psalm 121, verse 4. Well, there's the plan. Go out and represent the Lord. The plan involves coming back for report. Then we step into verse 31, part number 2, the proposal. The apostles gathered together. They reported to Jesus all that they had done and taught. Verse 31, Jesus said to them, come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest for a while. When you hear that word rest, what do you think? Is that a happy thought or a bummer thought? Rest is appealing for most of us. They are called to rest. And that rest involves an interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. The disciples need a recreation in body, soul, and spirit for the missions that are still ahead. And those missions ahead essentially are going to involve the same activities they've done on this last trip: preaching, teaching, evangelizing, healing, exorcising demons, representing God. They're essentially going to be doing the same thing. But they are called in this moment to be recreated, recharged for the mission ahead. Here and in our lives at times, Jesus refreshes his servants with a slowdown. Slowdown. The slowdown will be a time of resupply. Look in verse 31, then we'll move into verse 32. Why did they need rest? There are many people coming and going. They did not even have time to eat. That may be hard for some of us to relate to. But they have been so busy, so active, and even at this very moment, that it has been a challenge to simply eat, to take in nourishment. If you do not nourish your body physically, you will all fall apart. We will all fall apart. We can miss a meal for the moment, and life will not end. But we cannot live that way for a long time. We may need to pull an all-nighter to take the final the next day, to finish the term paper that we haven't started the next day. We may need to pull that isolated all-nighter. But you cannot live like that forever. You can only drive so far on an empty tank. Today is our day to fill up the tank. And as we come together as the body of Christ, it is a time to fill up our tank, not for the trip last week, but for the trip ahead, for the trip this week. So Jesus' proposal is, you guys need some rest. You see, you need to resupply yourselves physically, but also this is a time to refocus. Refocus on the mission. There were many people, what do we see, coming and going. As these men are there with Jesus, as they've been around Jesus, the crowd keeps coming, the crowd keeps going. The crowd keeps coming, the crowd keeps going. There is chaos, the chaos of the crowd, the busyness of the moment. And busyness can cloud the vision of the mission. Many successful athletes, and they talk a lot about NFL quarterbacks, the ones who are successful are the ones who can start processing the speed of the game and keep on mission. Keep the play in mind. Even as the pressure comes in and as the activity of the play becomes busy, they stay focused. They keep focused. They trust everybody else on the team to do what their assignment is. And those who can keep their head and keep the timing down are the ones who are successful. Busyness can cloud our vision, can throw us off course. We can lose sight of reality, lose sight of mission. What is our mission? If we just boil it down to just a statement or two, what is our mission as a Christian? What is our mission as a church? We say it in many different ways, but let me say it this way for us. Number one, I follow Christ. So wherever Christ goes, I go. Wherever Christ tells me to go, I go. And number two, I take as many people with me as I can. I follow Christ. I take as many people with me as I can. That's the motion. That's the mission. And that, even as the pressures of life and the busyness of life come along, we just need to keep coming back, refocusing on that mission time and time again. Jesus refreshes his servants here with a slowdown. There's a time to resupply the physical needs. There's a time to refocus, and continue to adjust the sight, the vision to the mission. In verse 32, this slowdown time is a time to recharge. They went away in the boat to a secluded place by themselves. Now, as you read through the whole story, you'll see that the disciples were not the only ones in the boat. Jesus was with them in the boat. This was an invitation for them to go with Jesus. This is an invitation to be with Jesus. Jesus said, you guys need rest. You need refocus. You need recharging. And you're going to get all those things by being and staying close to me. We're going to go off together. We're going to be together. And as we're together, we're going to recharge those batteries for the weeks ahead. The greater the demand of ministry, following Jesus, being a Christian, the greater the need to be with Jesus. The story has three parts. The plan, go out, come back, give a report. The proposal, let's get away and rest. Notice the popularity of Jesus. They're in a slowdown, and let's see what happens in the slowdown. Verse 33. The people saw the disciples and Jesus going away. They recognized them and ran together on foot from all the cities, and they got there ahead of them. Now, Jesus leaves one side of the lake. They are going to the other side of the lake to be away from all the people. The crowd sees what's going on, and they run around the lake, and they beat the boat to the other side. The guys in the boat have about 4 miles to go. The people on shore have about 8 miles to go. Why did the 8-milers win against the 4-milers? Often there's a wind on the lake there. The wind may have been against them, or it may have died down and kept them from sailing, whatever, at the pace they normally would have. Whatever happened, this is what happens. The guys are going to get away, and they get to where they're going, and the people have beat them there. Think of that. You're looking forward to going on a trip and getting away from everyone, and when you get to your destination, the people you're trying to get away from are there to greet you. Kind of a unique situation. Look what we learn from the Lord Jesus Christ here. So they all got there, and Jesus did what maybe just the opposite of what I'm tempted to do. You get to the shore and there's everybody else. You might be tempted to stay in the boat and turn around. Let's try the other side again. Jesus got out of the boat and he went ashore to the crowd. It's a large crowd. And he felt compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. There's a lot of prophetical truth in there. It's something you can maybe dig through on your own, in your own quiet time. Let's look at Christ, the crowd, and compassion. The crowd follows him there. They want to be there. Our focus is really on how Christ responds with compassion. This slowdown with the disciples lasts for a very short time. We might say it's not long enough. But we are reminded here that the pursuit of rest has its place, but it must never become our idol. The pursuit of rest must never become escapism from a life of responsibility. Rest stops are a part of life. They are needed in life. They are a good place to visit for resupply, for refocus, for recharge, but only for a short time. There's work to do. There are miles to be covered, things to be experienced in building the kingdom of God. How does Jesus handle this crowd invading his downtime? He felt compassion for them, and he began to teach them many things. His response to the crowd is to begin to teach the crowd. The compassion of Jesus teaching God's truth. Catch the mission priority of Jesus. You know, it can be very trendy to criticize churches that emphasize the teaching of Scripture. Very trendy in our culture today. But what do we notice? We notice the model of Jesus, and it is very dangerous to be critical of the model of Jesus. His default response is to teach the Word of God and everything else. The miracles that he does prior, the miracles that he does after, are all to accentuate and support the teaching of eternal truth. Well, the question often addressed to churches that emphasize the teaching of Scripture is, where's your compassion? Where's your connection to your culture? And while we say, don't be critical of what Jesus models, there are lessons for us here, as we see in the fourth part of this story, as Jesus ministers to their practical, everyday, physical needs. A word of caution for us as a church: Christ's truth always connects with Christ's heart of compassion. It goes both ways. Christ's heart of compassion always connects with Christ's truth. We must not be critical of what Jesus models. We all need to model all that Jesus models, which is teach eternal truth with a heart of practical compassion. Plenty for us to work on. Well, that brings us to part number four, probably one of the most familiar stories in all of Scripture. I will just touch on it, not really touch on the details, but the feeding of the 5,000. Here's the scene, here's the context for the feeding of 5,000 men. 5,000 men is what it says. These men likely had a wife with them. This wife and man combination likely had a child or two. So we're talking 15 to 20,000 people likely in this arena on the setting by the sea. It's springtime, as we can see by the reference to the green grass in verse 39. And we see truth in action, love on display, as Jesus Christ feeds them for a purpose: to leave the fingerprints of his identity, that he is Lord over everything, Lord over nature, Lord over death, disease, everything. This story is given in all four Gospels. It cannot be explained away. It cannot be rationalized, allegorized. It's very clear the gospel writers are claiming that Jesus supernaturally and sovereignly works to display who he is: God the Son, God in human flesh. And our gospel writer demands a verdict from every reader, from every listener, from all who are listening in today. These words demand a verdict. What will we say about Jesus Christ? What will we say about his identity? What will we say about his claims? Who is this man? As we prepare to celebrate communion in just a moment, we are making a statement that we are a believer, that we are a follower of Jesus Christ, that Jesus, this is God the Son who died for me, who lives for me today. I belong to Jesus. For from the picnic, we move into the picture for just a moment. As they are going through the feeding of the 5,000 experience, come in, drop into verse 41 with me. The question is, Jesus commands his disciples, go feed all these people. Their response: how can we do that? We can't do that, which is, I think, part of the lesson. Jesus commanded them all to sit down by groups on the green grass. And dropping into verse 41, Jesus took the 5 loaves, took the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, broke the loaves. He kept on giving to the disciples, who kept on giving to the crowd, who kept on eating and eating and eating till they are fully satisfied. Verse 41, he took the bread, He blessed the bread, and he broke the bread. And as we get ready in just a moment to make that public declaration that Jesus is God the Son, who died for me, who lives for me, and I am one of his, we notice that Jesus took the bread, blessed the bread, and broke the bread. And if you will come over to chapter 14 and verse 22 with me, what we see in the feeding of the 5,000 anticipates what we read in chapter 14, anticipates what we're about to do. The picnic on the hill anticipates the Last Supper. The picnic on the hill anticipates our time of communion today. Chapter 14, verse 22. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them. And he said, take it, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many today. The bread represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, a perfect sacrifice broken on our behalf. The juice represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the power of his shed blood to wash away our sins forever, to free captive prisoners and liberate them and move them from death into life. A couple of lessons as we think about what it takes to be strong and to remain productively strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to stay busy doing God's priorities. We are not to be so busy we fail to be broke and then blessed at the feet of Jesus. Strong people rest so they can remain productively strong. And our target this week, and as we come to the Word of God each day this week, is to have a recharged body, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and to have a ready blade for the assignments that God gives us in this week ahead. So let's come to the communion table. We are instructed to come after taking the time to pause, to look at our life, to let the Holy Spirit look at our life, for him to speak truth into our life and for us to respond to that truth. We understand that communion is for believers. And so I ask you, as I have also need to ask myself, am I a believer? Am I a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there a time where I have come to the feet of Jesus, acknowledged that I'm a sinner, hopeless and helpless on my own, totally in need of what Jesus did on the cross? And then have I responded in repentance, repenting of my sin and accepting the full pardon of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what it means to be a believer. This is a table, this is a time for us as believers to celebrate what God has done and what God will do in our life in the days ahead, to deal with sin in our life, to also find our confidence and our calm in the days ahead. So I invite you to just take just a moment to bow in silent prayer. Then I'll lead us in prayer and we will continue on in celebrating the Lord's Supper together. Let's pray. Father, we are reminded in your truth of your love for us and your demonstration of that love for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. I think back to the time where the lights came on in my life and I understood that I needed Jesus Christ as my Savior. May each of us look back and find encouragement in the truth of those moments. As we eat the bread and drink of the cup right now, may we again be reminded of God's truth and God's compassion, their connection, and what it means in our hearts and lives. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. We're going to be showing a video on the screen in just at this time. I invite you to get up and make your way to one of the tables and pick up the elements and go back to your seat, and then we will make a couple statements and eat and drink together. And again, if you need some help, just raise your hand and one of our men will help you. So let's grab the elements and then we will participate together. Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take it, eat it, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup, he gave thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank. He took the cup, he broke the bread, and he gave a blessing. As we close this morning, I invite you to stand with me and let me pray a blessing for you and with you from the words of Scripture, the conclusion of Ephesians 6, and then on your way out, you can drop your disposables in the trash cans. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 23. Here's a blessing for each of us. "Peace be to the brethren, the body of Christ, all Christians, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Father, we thank you for your complete, incorruptible, and uncorruptible love. It is what gives us hope. It is what gives us help. Lord, we need rest. We need to resupply, refocus, and be refreshed to move forward into our next assignments. We anticipate the blessings, the fruit, and the intimacy of being with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is in his name we pray. Amen.